Thank you, Donna, for that beautiful song. Thank you for gathering us together. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, you're right where you're supposed to be. You are right where you are supposed to be this morning. Welcome. You passed the first test of the day. It's a blessing to be with you in this place of peace. Welcome to worship at Abiding Love. If you're visiting with us, there are some little books that'll make their way up and down our rows. Please give us a little contact information on you so we can continue to greet you in the time to come. We are blessed in this season of the Eastertide to be focused on names and naming, and we're going to explore that in more depth today. The power of names, biblical names, our names, and the depth of naming, which we discover in this Greek word, onoma. So I invite you to stand as we begin with a litany around names. Creating God, you call us by name and call us your own. You give us the gift of your name. Almighty God, God of heaven and earth, source and ground of all being, God of justice, God of compassion. You give us the gift of your Son, in whose name we find presence and unity with you. Wonderful Counselor, Lord of life, everlasting Prince of Peace, in the name that is above all names, you reveal your divine nature and essence. In the resurrection of your Christ, we receive the gift of new life. From your hand, we receive all that is needed for life to flourish. Grant now that we who gather in worship and praise may live into that name by which you call us. Children of God, disciples, apostles, body of Christ in the world you love. Amen.
The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Now the feast and celebration of creation sings for joy with the God. Sings for joy. sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
Let us pray. God of all, by the power of your Spirit, you are naming us, in calling us to share life and ministry in you. You are calling forth the fullest expression of ourselves, of our identity rooted in you. Shape us according to your goodness and grace. Amen. You may be seated.
This time, we're blessed to celebrate the graduation of our graduates of the class of 2019. I want to call some names and invite some people forward. Jordan Hashti, who will be attending Texas A&M and University of Corpus Christi as well. Oh, the University of Corpus Christi is the A&M. Gotcha. Come right on up. Gotcha. I'm learning. And also, is Joe Santos here? Come right on up top. And I'll stand by you in case these other two haven't shown up yet today. Joe Santos is planning to move to San Marcos. He is looking at the possibility of a career in the Marine Corps. And Allison Yetter plans to attend Colorado State University in Fort Collins in the fall to plan to study neuroscience. So, did you have an idea of your major, or are you going in undeclared?
I'm undeclared right now, but I'm thinking about animal science right now.
Awesome. We found a fox last week, so we need animal scientists around here. Julia.
We have a litany for our graduates to pray with them and for them on this day of their achievement. Please join with us in the verses that are in bold. God of truth and knowledge, by your wisdom we are taught the way and the truth. Bless our graduates as they now finish their course of study.
We thank you for those who taught and worked beside and who support them along the way.
Walk with our graduates as they leave and move forward in life. Take away their anxiety and confusion of purpose.
Strengthen their talents and skills. Instill in them a confidence in the future you plan, where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all.
For the graduates, this truly is a day of new beginnings, a time to remember and move on, and a time to believe what love is bringing.
May they always know that Christ is alive and goes before us. Show and share what love can do. This is the day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.
And we have some gifts this day.
Some gifts for you. First, we have Di Brophy, who's part of our Women of the ELCA.
Jordan, first of all, we want you to remember that your church family will continue to pray for you and your continued success. And in order to honor your high school graduation, the women's ministry at Abiding Love would like you to present you with a $200 check.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then also, yeah, you hold it. Jordan, we also have some cards and good wishes for you and this wonderful verse. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We'd love for this to go with you, to remind you of a church community that loves you and is always here for you.
Thank you so much.
Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for this gift of life and for the journey that we make together, and we pray blessings this day on Jordan and Joe and Allison as their paths lead them on. Help them always to remember the way home. Help them always to know that we are supporting and encouraging, praying and blessing them, always in Jesus' name. Amen. Jordan, congratulations. Job well done. Blessings to you. We continue with our readings.
A reading from Genesis. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. And the word was with God. Psalm 113 will be read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, from this time on and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down and earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap,
to make them sit with princes,
with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of the children. Praise the Lord. A reading from Acts. For several days, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this man the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked his name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priest?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. And the word was with God. Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our youngins to come forward. I was glad, when they said unto me, "Let us go." Hi, Edelyn. "Into the Lord's house." Come on up. When they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." We're talking about names, and we're talking about naming and renaming. It's interesting in these Bible stories, sometimes God gives people new names. Can you imagine that? Suddenly somebody said, "You know what? Your name is going to be Peace." How about that? That would be different, wouldn't it? Because a lot of people don't necessarily know you by the name Peace, but it's a wonderful name. And I thought we'd sing a little song today about some names that I think God is giving each one of us. This is one of those songs where I sing some words and you sing them right after. You want to give it a try? My name is Grace. My name is Grace. My name is Joy. My name is Joy. My name is Faith. My name is Faith. My name is Hope. My name is Hope. My name is Light.
My name is Light.
From above.
From above.
My name is Peace.
My name is Peace.
My name is Love.
My name is Love.
Isn't that a beautiful little song? It reminds us that God has all of these names for us and invites us to be people of peace and joy and faith in life. And so he gives us these names, I think, to remind us of really who we are, who the true us is. And this is not just a song that we can sing about ourselves, because it isn't just us that God is giving these names to. It's everybody. And it's our students that are graduating and our students that are going on to college and other new chapters in their life. And we could send them today with this little song as a reminder to them. Shall we try it? Your name is Grace.
Your name is Grace.
Your name is Joy.
Your name is Joy.
Your name is Faith.
Your name is Faith.
Your name is Hope.
Your name is Hope.
Your name is Light.
Your name is Light.
From above.
From above.
Your name is Peace.
Your name is Peace.
Your name is Love. Remember that about yourself and about others that you meet, because you can give names to people too. We can give names to dads, like your name is Security and Protection and Strength. And we can give names to moms, like your name is Wisdom and Nurture and Life itself. Yeah? These are names that we can give in love to people to recognize who they really are for us and for the world. So blessings on you this day. Peace, joy, faith, grace, hope, light, all of the things that you are in God's world. Amen? Blessings to you. You can go back and sit with your folks if you want. We're going to talk some more about naming. There's a lot about names in this Bible of ours. God does a lot of naming. God does a lot of renaming. There's a particularly beautiful moment in the history of the relationship of God with people. comes to us in Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah has this wonderful book of prophecy that is really in three parts. And it begins before the exile, with lots of warnings and lots of cautions from Isaiah about what lies ahead if some changes and some redirection don't happen among God's people. And sadly, they don't. And this second part of Isaiah comes in the time when the people are in exile. They find themselves at a distance, separated from God, separated from the place God chose for God's name in the world, separated from their homeland, from the people that they've loved. They find themselves in exile. And then Tredo, or third Isaiah, comes along with this marvelous message of hopefulness. Even in the midst of what they are suffering, even in the midst of this rejection and separation, and they feel like their old world is gone entirely, here comes God through the voice of the prophet, giving them this wonderful song of hope. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You, people, shall no longer be named forsaken, and your land shall no longer be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. These wonderful images of this deep, intimate love relationship that God is calling forth between God and God's people, assuring them, perhaps reminding them that God is forever. Nothing else is. God's love is forever, and times of separation are not. And so, you are no longer Azab, the text says. This is the name of a people forsaken. You are no longer Sima, your land is no longer desolate. But you are Hephzibah, which means delight, and your land is Beulah. We actually have some old-time hymns about Beulah land, the idea that the land, the place where people dwell in the presence of God, is blessed, sanctified, just as though there was a marriage between the two. Sometimes we don't think a lot in terms of a marital relationship as emblematic of the nature of the relationship between God and people. Jesus talks about it all the time. Jesus talks about the church as the bride of Christ. Jesus talks about the celebration of God's love as like a wedding feast. He uses matrimonial images all over the place. And he comes by it honestly. When Jesus is quoting scripture, he's usually quoting Isaiah. He knows Isaiah and he knows it well, and he finds huge meaning and import in the prophecy of Isaiah. And he echoes a lot of that in his teaching, a lot of times quoting directly from the text. He knows his prophets, and he knows what it is to warn and to caution, and he knows what it is for people to become broken and fail, and he knows how important it is that they hear a message of hope in that very moment, that God is forever, that God's love is forever, and that that bond between the people, emblematic of the land and the tribal confederation, that bond between the people and God is forever. So this marvelous naming, God shall give you a new name, not the name that you bear, not the weight that you bear right now, but a new name, and it shall come from the mouth of the Lord, Isaiah says. Just as we've understood this kind of cyclical nature of the story of humanity in the Bible, this constant dying and rising. We've talked about this many times. There is a time of Thanatos, the breaking down, the death, the dismantling, that is always followed by Eros, the new birth, the rising, the new beginnings again. And there is also this cycle of naming and renaming that takes place in Scripture as well, naming us newly for new times. Dionoma. Sometimes new names, sometimes true names emerging from what may have frustrated or confused them. in the years following Jesus' resurrection, this sect of people, this sect of Judaism, which we really need to understand the early Jesus movement as, a gathering of people with a new sense of revelation emerging out of traditional Judaism or the Judaism of Jesus' time and his forebears. They come to be called the people of the way. This is a new name for a new body of believers within the larger family of this human community that God has called together. They call themselves the way because they follow a way that has been exampled for them in Christ. They live a way and a truth and a life that has been called forth from them by the one that they follow, the people of the way. Jesus exemplifies this way of being. And so this is the way they call themselves, people of the way. And it's people of the way that Saul of Tarsus comes after. This new emerging sect of Judaism, something new and different that threatens what has been, the way we've always done it, the way we have traditionally believed and practiced, suddenly something new is on the table. And this is very threatening and challenging for lots of people. Lots of people don't greet new with excitement and expectation. Lots of people greet new with apprehension, maybe even fear. And this is certainly the way that Paul greets it. Saul of Tarsus greets it. I slipped. Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul of Tarsus is on a mission from God. Saul of Tarsus is going to be the protector of the tradition and the belief system of himself and his forebears. He will not allow anything to come in that might change that or subvert that in some way. So he asks to be deputized to go up to find these people who have, for their safety's sake, moved out of Jerusalem, moved away from the center of religious life, moved out to the periphery in order to protect themselves. And he wants letters of authority so that he can round up the people of the way, this new movement among the followers. Now we know the story, that on the Damascus Road, he has a miraculous experience of the risen Christ, and he is convicted that what he is doing may not be the right mission for him. Suddenly, his entire world is upended. This is a well-educated, deeply, profoundly religious person. And suddenly all of his sense of the reality of the way things are gets turned over in an instant. And he languishes blind for 3 days. And he's ministered to by the very people that he came to destroy. He experiences the grace of God at the hands of these ones whom he has made his enemies. And he's transformed by that. We have this marvelous transformation. And over time, he will come to be called by another name. Saul of Tarsus will no longer be the way this one is known in the world. He is named Shaul. He is named after the first king that God anoints over Israel. He's named after Saul. But his new name that he will take on as he moves on and begins to move out from this religious center and out to the wider world. Paul understands that he has a new mission now. He has a new calling from God. And that requires a new name. Under his ministry to the Gentiles, he will go by a Gentile name. Its Greek root is Paulus. Sounds a little like Shaul, sounds a little like Saul. But it also means humble, which is something I don't often associate with Saul of Tarsus or with Paul. But God has profoundly humbled him to a new reality, to a new identity, and he's blessed him in that process with a new name. He's still called Saul, when another one goes to find him. He has a traveling partner named Joseph. But this one named Joseph, the disciples of Jesus begin to call by another name just because of the way this guy is. We have these people in our lives. Maybe we are these people at times in the lives of others. Joseph, to many, to his family, to the wider world, for the disciples becomes Barnabas, which means the encourager. Barnabas is one of those people you need in your life that tells you the sun is up even when it's raining. Barnabas is the one who comes among us and lifts our eyes back to the horizon once again and gets us up out of this and back into this. Barnabas, the encourager, this energizer bunny of the disciples. And Paul gravitates to this. Paul likes Barnabas. They actually have some difficulties and split. The humble one can probably be a little bit of a difficult traveling partner, even for a guy like Barnabas. This gives us some insight into Paul, huh? But Barnabas the encourager comes among them. He's the one that goes looking for Saul. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, this place that they're hiding out, because things have gotten too hot for them in Jerusalem, up in Syria. So it was that for an entire year, they met with the church there and taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. This is a quote from Acts, by the way. In Antioch in Syria, the followers of the way, the Jesus movement, are first referred to as Christians. From this word Christos, which means anointed one, which is a Greek form of Mashiach or Messiah, which also means anointed one of God. So it's this Greek version of what Peter says in our gospel today. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Christos is a Greek version of Messiah. And it's Christians now, a new name that's given them, not by God, not by their friends, but by their enemies. The first time the people of God are called Christians, it's an epithet. It's derogatory. It's the followers of this Christos, these Christian people. And it's Vespasian, one of the emperors of Rome, the emperor during the time of the Jewish rebellion, and it's being crushed in 70, that refers to these Christians in Roman writings, and he calls them these cannibals who eat their God, referring to the sacrament of communion that Jesus institutes among the people. We consume the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrament, and from the outside, to people who are not knowledgeable of the practice or the tradition that's growing from it, they refer to it as cannibalism that's practiced by these Christians who eat their God. But the people of Christ, the Christians, the people of the way persist. And within a scant couple hundred years, Christianity will become the state religion of Rome. Amazing transformation. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus asks today of his followers, of us. Who do people say that huios anthropos is the way he refers to himself most often, Son of Man? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they give the word on the street, the conjecture about Jesus. Some think he's John the Baptist come back from the dead. There's some mysticism going on around that. Some people think he's Elijah. Some people think he may be Jeremiah, a resurrected Jeremiah from the time of the exile. Some people say another prophet, right? Then he asks the poignant question, who do you say that I am? And Peter, I think before he even thinks about it, it's out of his mouth. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I think this is just, Peter is one of the most unfiltered, certainly in the Christian Testament. He just says it. I can imagine the moment of that hanging in the air and everyone thinking, yes. This one has just spoken the truth in our midst. This is God's anointed one. And Jesus, in that moment, gives him a new name. Simon Peter, son, or Simon, son of Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, he calls him by his full name in the gospel. He says, you are now Kephas, Peter, Petra, the rock. And on the basis of your confession, on the basis of your testimony, we will build the great ecclesia of God. We will build the great ingathering of God. And the gates of hell itself will not prevail against it. And here we gather today as the church of God, celebrating that same pronouncement. And nothing has prevailed against us. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Jacob, wrestling all night, struggling, seeking to understand, in the night, in the darkness, seeking illumination, seeking truth, seeking a word of life that will carry him forward as he continues on his desert journey. And he refuses to let go. He refuses to give up. He stays in the struggle. And he's rewarded. He's wounded in the experience. He experiences what Henry Nouwen called the sacred wounding, the price that we pay as we come closer and closer to the truth. And yet, God gives him a new name in that moment. You are one who has contended with God and man and prevailed. You are Israel. Jacob becomes Israel. His former name, Jacob, means follower. And epithetically, from his story with Esau, it means heel grabber, because he was born hanging onto Esau's heel. You remember that? Second born, but already in the struggle. He's got him by the foot. Jacob, heel grabber, becomes the one who has contended with God and prevails. And he calls the place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face and lived. This is what he's been after. Show yourself to me, God. Teach me. Show me. Reveal yourself to me in power. I will stay in this struggle regardless of how I'm wounded, regardless of what it takes, until I see you with my own eyes. These amazing people of extraordinary faith, named and renamed by God and others throughout the course of the biblical narrative. And it invites us in our place and time to think about our names, to think about the names that we've had over the course of our lives so far. Short as they may be, fresh as they may be, different names, different revelations of our real identity in God that come to the fore. And what is God calling us today? What is God calling us as the people of God in this place and time today? How is God naming our community? This is a fruitful place for conversation, for meditation, because it is a place of revelation. Amen? Thank you.
Please stand as you are able as we continue with our profession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As a community of faith, we come together in prayer for each other and for the world. Let us pray. God of all, young and old, rich and poor, gay and straight, all the same, we praise you for the love you have for all people and all creation. The earth and the heavens proclaim your majesty. All things are under your feet. We know everything you made and are making is good. All good things come from you because you are love. Hear us, O God. God of all, we pray today for all elected officials, whether in Washington, D.C. or in all the state houses. We pray that you will guide them in the way of justice and love as they strive to govern this nation. Help them in their debates to err on the side of caring, especially for women's and children's well-being. We pray that you will guide us and give us the words needed to help our leaders make the choices that lead to the way of justice and love. We also pray for all those who are suffering because of the injustices of this world. May we be a light in the darkness that leads to the betterment of those in need. Hear us, O God. God of all, be with all those who are sick today and in need of your healing touch. Today we lift up Laura Blaschke, Joanne Mock, Cheryl Henry, Steve Kikta, Ross Davis, Verla Cook, David Fetter, Gloria Hayden, Sam Collins, Rosa Hatfield, Danny Santos, Clyde Sutton. We pray blessings upon Laura Beck and her father, Reverend Dr. Norman Beck, and their family at the passing of Esther Beck, mother of Laura, wife of Dr. Beck. We pray blessings upon the Olson family at the death of Kyle Olson's cousin, Josh Crewalt. We pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, for all victims of disasters and human failings. And we pray blessings upon the Wetzel and Kirby families at the birth of Wyatt Kirby. And we pray blessings on our confirmants and their families as they celebrate their affirmation of baptism on this confirmation day. Hear us, O God. God of all, inspire the work of all our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and surrounding faith communities. Today, we remember the people and mission of Abiding Love Lutheran Church. And bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City and all the people who serve with the ELCA Global Missions. And Lord, we lift up Shirley Shod, Jim Shod, Kelly and Holly Buck. And we also lift up Al Pruitt. Lord, empower all the people in the community of Abiding Love today. We lift up Karen Tremenio, Donna Trepto, Tom and Judy Tuff, Barbara Teat, and Carolyn Thornton. Hear us, O God. God of all, open our hearts, eyes, and ears to hear when you are calling us. May we live up to the names you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our offerings.
Let's stand and pray together. God of grace, receive these simple gifts as signs of our whole lives offered up to you, in gratitude for the gift of new life you have given us in Christ. Bless and multiply this harvest. May it serve your kingdom's purpose of bringing justice, peace, healing, and nourishment to a hungry and searching world. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name. Hosanna in the highest.
with all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it, and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." And in the same way, he takes a cup, blessing it and giving thanks. He shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we remember in prayer. And today we pray the words of the Our Father as they're interpreted by members of our confirmation class of 2019. Pray with me.
Yahweh residing in heaven,
the whole of your name be blessed. May the beauty of your kingdom surround the earth from within and without. Your work in heaven guide us, providing our earthly needs and spiritual growth. Give us so that we may forgive others. Guide us away from evil, leading us to take right steps. Your power and glory in heaven and on earth be forever and ever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. Those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. God's gifts are free and for everyone. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians, communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you.
Sin of the world. Have mercy on us, mercy on us, mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, mercy on us. Mercy on us. Lamb of God, you are the way of justice and peace. Have mercy on us, mercy on us, mercy on us. Lamb of God, you are the way of mercy. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace, grant us peace, grant us peace. Oh, say.
light and favor all of the names above. We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our holy Lord and King. O bringer of salvation, who wondrously hast wrought thyself a revelation of love beyond our thought, we worship thee. Song above, in endless adoration and everlasting love, then shall we praise and bless thee, where perfect praises ring, and evermore confess thee, Savior and our King.
Let's stand and pray together. God of life, of all creation, you bless us in this sacred meal. Your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world. Your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead. And you have given us a vision of your kingdom come, where all are welcome, all are fed, none go wanting. Pray with me. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Just a couple of announcements today. Thanks to everyone who supported the garage sale yesterday. It was a wonderful turnout. And no sooner did they get the rest of the goods packed up in the trailer, the raindrops began to fall. So thanks be to God for the timing. And Julia, wonderful work with our kids and our sponsors and volunteers. And the amount that was donated in, to support our youth group?
$1,600.
Beautiful. Thank you very much to everyone who was able to participate. Our golf tournament is on. June 3rd, Monday, June the 3rd, at Onion Creek Golf Course. So they've been working diligently to kind of recondition after the storm damage that they suffered. We give thanks for graduates and for all of those who are taking the next step forward in their education. School is just about out, thanks be to God, and summer is just about here for a little bit of respite as we continue in this journey of education. For all of your high ideals and great goals, we bless you. Please know that there are tickets available for the Danny Santos benefit, which is June 1st, here at Abiding Love at 6 o'clock in the Activity Center. They're available in the Narthex. Sing with me. My name is Grace.
My name is Grace.
My name is Joy.
My name is Joy.
My name is Faith.
My name is Faith.
My name is Hope.
My name is Hope.
My name is light.
My name is light.
From above.
From above.
My name is peace.
My name is peace.
My name is love.
My name is love.
May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May God look on you with favor and grant you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is your help and salvation. Let all who hear, loud in his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now in praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again.
We go forth together,
sharing God's love.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with each other and any who you meet this week.
Blessings.
Blessings.